Ready, sis?
I'm ready. I don't know if you want me slurping all in your video. Mm.
I don't care. Got them crabs. They look good. Come home.
Better than the first one, baby.
You come home, first thing you gotta get is some crabs. All right. 10-second lead in, and then we'll start. Hey, cousin, welcome to Coco Conja. Here we talk about all things hoodoo, folklore, and spiritual journeys. Of course, my mission is to give foundation to the novice and inspiration to the advanced practitioner. If you haven't guessed already, my name is Coco. Today's episode is brought to you by the Baltimore Blue Crab. Steam me up at Old Bay. Dip me in some butter. Today, I have with me Big Sis, live and in color.
Hey, I'm in the house.
So we have a similar setup to when I was with Mom. Just like sitting and chilling. It's a little less formal. We're just going to chat, basically. But if Big Sis is here, you know what this means, right?
What?
It's an Internet Witches episode. Internet Witches got questions, baby. So in these episodes, I take all the like random stuff I find online. Mm-hmm. Some of them from old episodes, questions that I could have answered that I just chose not to. Some of them like brand new, fresh, and I thought was interesting we could talk about. Before somebody say anything, just so they're jealous, the reason you hear a bunch of cracking is because Big Sis got her some blue crabs.
Yes, indeedy. The one thing that I must have every time I come back. So yeah, if y'all hear cracking and slurping and smacking and all that good stuff, yeah, that's me. Enjoying my crab while I'm at home.
It's a ancestral offering to those who lost their lives in the Chesapeake. We learned yesterday. What museum was that called?
The National Museum of African American History and Culture.
Yeah. Down in D.C. Mm-hmm. Which, child, I hate driving in D.C.
That drive.
And that was with us, Mom, and I've been calling your oldest son B.
Okay.
Since we reference him so much here. He might just have a name. So it was us, Mom, and B. And, child, our souls got stolen at least twice. Just driving.
DC, their lights, I don't know. The impatience, they worse than New Yorkers. They terrible.
Yeah, at least a New Yorker will just go around you. They don't got time to hunt.
Do that.
They will just cut around you. Okay. So I don't think there's any easy questions here. You know, like sometimes I'm like, let's start with something simple to get us warmed up.
You went straight for the best. Well, it's been active these last couple of weeks, so it's been real active.
So I don't know how to. Okay. So the last episode before this was folklore, but the one before that was about the uses of fire and hoodoo. Lamp work, setting your lights, candle work, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So this one comes from Reddit. It says, it's rude to blow out a candle or incense stick with your mouth? Question mark, question mark, question mark. I was watching videos about witchcraft and someone said this. I had never heard it before. I suppose it makes sense, but has anyone else heard that it's rude to blow out a candle with your mouth when you're doing spell work? Like, she literally clapped to extinguish the candle flame, which is neat, but a little awkward. And the incense stick, she said to wave it or just set it vertically and it will go out on its own. Is this because breath is dirty or too personal? So, sis, is your breath too dirty for candles?
I don't know. You know me as a nurse. My nurse brain went straight to germs post-COVID. We in a post-COVID world. So that's why I had thought that that was the main reason why people stopped blowing out candles, because of the force of possible, if someone got COVID, or everybody in the room got it.
But that's like birthday cake, right? Like mm-hmm. that's, yeah, we don't blow out candles because of a birthday. Because the idea of blowing out a candle on a birthday cake is rooted in the occult. This idea that you make a wish, you blow out the candle, your wish is then sent on the smoke being sent out. That's very occult thinking. That's very folky occult thinking, right? But yeah, if it's a birthday cake, please don't blow out the candles. Get you some sparklers and we can just set them aside and cut the cake after we say happy birthday. Mm. To be honest with you, I'm really surprised that the practice of blowing out candles continued as long as it did, because we always knew germs existed.
This is what I'm saying. That's why my nurse brain went straight there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we do know that there are bacteria and viruses that travel via your sputum. Cause
not the sputum.
Honey, because you know if you're blowing out a candle,
just all the spittle.
Spittle is coming out. It may be micrograms or whatever. But it's in the air.
Okay. I get you. That's very scientific. That's very true. Don't eat no birthday cake when someone blew over it post-COVID. That's crazy.
Don't do it.
But spiritually, that spit would be considered a personal concern.
Mm-hmm.
And if you spit on the candle, you're just targeting it towards you. And that's either good or bad, considering what you're doing the work for. But typically, you're told not to blow out the candle because the work's not done. And in respect to the flame, mm-hmm. instead of being harsh or blowing it out, you snuff it with a candle snuffer, or you lick your fingertips and hit the, what's it called? The wick. Generally, in my practice, I blow it out when the work is done, right?
Mm-hmm.
If the work's not done, then I snuff it out. Incense, I just blow it out.
Yeah, I snuff mine out. Especially if I'm, because my incense that I use, I buy the good incense. So a stick of incense could last me for a few days.
Mm.
Because it's that high quality.
Slow burn.
Yeah, slow burn.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm snuffing it out if I'm done. The work, like I said, the work is done. The incense I'm snuffing out.
How do you use incense in your work?
I mainly use my incense as an offering. Well, I guess not actually as an offering, but just like to call out, to bring me closer to spirit.
So the smoke acts as a bridge between you here and the heavens or the spiritual realm. I use incense. Okay, so let's define. I don't always use the stick.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time when I'm using incense, it's a powder I created.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a loose incense on a charcoal disc. I did get this traditional Egyptian one when I went to Sacred Space. And that's binded together by honey. You can tell because it's real sticky.
The incense?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll burn that on the charcoal disc, and that gets a real nice slow burn. But when I'm doing that, it's for one of two reasons. It's for offering, like you said, or it's to clear the space.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times when I, like daily prayer in the morning or
mm-hmm.
like anything like that, I just like the candle. I don't necessarily use the incense.
So that's if I'm just gonna do the minimum of my prayer, and especially in the mornings, I light my candle and I burn my incense. I have to.
Gotta do both.
Mm-hmm. I have to do both.
Is that like a rule of your practice, or is there a specific reason why you do that?
I think it's just a rule of my practice. I think it, and then just to me, what what the incense represents. Mm-hmm. I think it just assists in my prayers being heard.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I love that incense is like this perfect cross section of elemental uses. Mm-hmm. Because especially when I make it, like when I make incense, I choose my herbs for what I want. I wish I could tell you offhand, like, I have a jar of loose incense on my altar right now. Mm-hmm. I wish I could tell you offhand what's inside. I can't. Every time I have to go to make it, I have to go to my field journal and, like, remember what it is I put in it so I can make sure I'm doing the same thing over and over.
Right.
But, like, I chose those herbs for a very specific reason. Mostly it's just general, like, blessing. Mm-hmm. So, like, if when we had a whole bunch of people over last Christmas, New Year, and I was like, I should probably smoke the house out. That's the blend I used. when I was crafting mojos, you know, and I was trying to, like, get the prayers up, I don't know why I say energy, because you know I hate using it. But, like, try to put the spirit in the bag, like, all of that. I use that blend of incense. So there's the herbal component, the earth component. But, like, I've also used it as cones. And when I use it as cones, yes, you can use honey to bind it together, but I usually use gargum, like the gum.
Okay.
And then I have to get it wet to mold it into a dough. So girl, I've used water.
You're doing a whole lot. You're doing more than I
you know. Listen, like, listen.
Who's doing all that?
My practice is deceivingly simple. It time, looks so simple time, on the top.
Just having the time. My God, I love
you. But you know, I use water to like get it going to make the dough. And then, you know, then I roll it in my hands, all that. And then you gotta light it on fire. Hmm. And then, of course, the fire transform the herbs into smoke. The smoke flips up. It sends the prayer. It sends the offering. Whatever. So like, it's a perfect cross section of all elemental uses being put into practice. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's mainly why I do it too. To get the fire, air, the four elements: fire, air, earth.
If it's in a stick, they had to make a dough. In order to make that dough, they either had to use a binding agent with water,
okay,
or they had to use honey.
I get it. I see.
Yeah.
I still in my practice, I have just a small cup of water I leave on my altar at all times. You know, of course, I refresh it. But yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Mm-hmm. And so I don't ever snuff my incense. And most of the time, there's no reason to wave it around, because I just lit a charcoal disc and I put the smoke, I put it on top. Like, I just literally scooped it and put it on top. Or if I made the full dough with the, like, a cone or a stick, especially if it's a cone, I'll just set it on a charcoal disc and let it burn from the bottom up. Very rarely do I light the cone by itself. Because I found that I get a slower burn if I put it on a charcoal disc. But that might just be how I'm making the cones.
It could be because the very few cones that I've used, them things be out in 10 minutes. Not even 10 minutes. That's how I feel. I'm like, I got to keep putting. It's work. And you know, when it gets laborious, I'm like, I can't even get through this whole ritual without lighting 5 cones. I can't do the cones. I still have some, and I have powder too. Same thing with the powder.
Oh yeah, the powder burns quickly.
Same
with
the powder. Ooh, and I still have some. I was like, who's doing all that?
That's why I was thinking, maybe I take a page out of that traditional Egyptian. I forgot what the name of it's called. Like, it's a traditional Egyptian incense.
Mm-hmm.
And they use honey to bind it. It can't be a tree. If it's a tree resin, then they did it before that tree resin hardened. Because when tree resins hit air, it hardens. Mm-hmm. Honey doesn't necessarily harden. It'll stay sticky. And you can even hear the little sizzle of the honey on the charcoal disc. I love it. So to answer this cousin's question, girl, just snuff it out. It's not because, I mean, your breath is dirty. Post-COVID, we know that. You shouldn't be blowing on people. But spit is not, spiritually, your spit is a personal concern. So depending on what that candle is dressed for, fixed for, that might not be a bad thing. But generally speaking, in most occult spaces, hoodoo or otherwise, we snuff it out because the work's not done yet. We're just pausing it. Blowing it out is as if to say, I'm finished. Yeah. Next question. Let's stay with herbs.
Okay.
Reversal herb recommendations. Good day, y'all. Hope y'all are well. I'm pretty new to the concept of reversals, and I'd like to ask, what are some herbs you use for return to senders or reversals that's not agrimony or rue? I know a lot of us would use agrimony or rue, but they're unfortunately not accessible to me and in my country, which is the Philippines. I'm looking forward for y'all's responses. Thank you so much. Let me say this. Let me go first.
Please.
If it's not accessible to you and your country, the agrimony or the rue, then you need to figure out what's accessible to you in the Philippines to use. I don't think that this is the kind of question that goes out for the world to answer you. I think that this is the kind of thing that, you know, if you're an eclectic occultist, you might take page from many people, but when you don't have what you need that's in someone else's practice,
yeah,
you need to go back to your roots and say, so what do I have here, right here next to me? Mm-hmm. And if I don't have agrimony or rue to do that, I don't know if they're doing candle work. I don't know if they're doing a spiritual bath, but I would just try something else. Like something else. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So like, if that means I have to go to the store and talk to the auntie, the uncle, the mother, the father, the brother, whoever, at the occult shop, and they recommend an oil to me, I'll just use the oil. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Or go all the way back to the basics, hit that power of the Psalms, light that whatever color candle, write that psalm out and put it under the candle. Like, it doesn't have to be stock standard. So you have to go, I think personally, we should go back to the basics. If you don't have what the world says you should have, right, go to what your place of the world says you should have. Your little corner. What does that corner say you should have? And if you can't find that, or you don't feel comfortable asking people near you, then you need to go back to the simple, simple basics. Personally.
That sounds about right, because remember when I was telling you I went to go buy my cowboy boots, the Mexican owner, and me and her was talking. And I was telling her about my job and how I was feeling that the building had a lot of negativity just within the walls, and how I felt as though lately I've been not feeling grounded every time I go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was telling her that I was planning on trying to clear out that negativity and, you know, just heavy spirit that is in that building.
Mm-hmm.
First I have crystals. I use my grounding crystals.
Yeah.
And so she was like, my mother, she always uses a plant. And if Aruba, remember, was that the name?
Aruda.
Aruda. She said, but I don't know how that translates in the English language. She said, Aruba, that's the name of the plant. She was like, my mother uses that plant, and she even told me that I needed to put one of those plants in my store,
mm-hmm,
to clear out whatever, you know, spirits that's in your space. It needs to be cleared out.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, my mother keeps telling me I need to put one of them in the store. And she's like, maybe you can use one, you know, those plants and put where you work. I was like, you know, again, anything spiritual, you're the first person that popped in my mind. And I said, can you, she was like, I don't know how to translate it in English. I said, just write it down in Spanish. Whatever, however you say it in Spanish, spell it in Spanish, put it on a piece of paper for me. I said, because I want to, you know, try to get it. She said, oh, you can get it at the, I think she said Home Depot. Or,
yeah, like any place that sells plants, a greenhouse.
She said, yeah, she said, that's where my mama gets it. She can get it from me. I said, okay, but I still want, you know, just write it down for me. I said, because I'll forget. So sure enough, I leave and I called my sister. I was like, sis, have you heard of this plant? I said, this is what she told me. And you immediately said it was
rude.
Rude. Basically, yeah. What was it?
Aruda is the name from the area she calls it, but it's called rue.
It's called rue, right? Yeah,
R-U-E.
And so that makes sense because by her being Mexican, even though we're in California.
Yeah.
California was once Mexico.
Yeah.
That's a plant that's nearby. That's a plant of the indigenous people that was there. You know, that's right. A plant that they use. So that makes sense what you're saying. If you can't get whatever, like you said, the standard of the world says, look in your backyard first. Check with your people. But you know what I'm saying? They could be using something that you may not know about because it's called something differently. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But it actually translates into something that they had.
Yeah. Honestly.
So I completely agree with you with that.
In Italian folk magic too, they use rue.
Mm-hmm.
I just got that book of folklore by plants. It's like this person. I thought it was like actual stories passed down, but it seems like it's more this person understands how the plant works, like the spirit of that plant.
Right.
And then they wrote folklore around it, which is still pretty cool. And they said the same thing about rue. It's God's grace. It's grace being placed upon you. Power and protection and shield and all this stuff. And they're talking about it from an African perspective, you know. So this kind of plant is found in enough places in the world, you know, that we might use it a little differently, but it has a similar usage, you know. And they know this because it's in their backyard.
Uh-huh.
It's what they use. I think that in Italian folk magic, rue is used not necessarily for cleansing, but like in general, but specifically for evil eye.
Mm.
To just be like, no.
Yeah.
Whatever you just said, whatever you just did, I don't want it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, hey, so cousin, yeah, don't worry about what we're saying online. Go into where you are. Go to the occult shops. Go find the group there. And ask them. And if not, then go back to the bare bone basics. We don't always need every herb, every niche thing. For example, in our practice in hoodoo, in order to get work done, you really only need salt, pepper, sugar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that should pretty much cover it. But you use what you have on hand. You use what you need, what you can make do with. There's not a single occult practice that is commercial by nature. Okay, let's get controversial. Let's start with this one from Facebook. It says, y'all keep popping those fans, not knowing y'all invoking Oya and Shango, but it is their year. I'm here for it. Where them fans at, though? What are your thoughts on that, sis? Every time we're doing boots on the ground, we invoking Orisha.
Honey. No. How are you invoking something that you have no clue who it even is? They don't know you. They don't know you. Okay.
I agree.
No type of relationship. No idea who. How you been invoking them?
How? I think that when we're new to something, we see it in everything.
Yeah. Yep,
I heard it. But I'm with you, like, girl. There's a will is important in all aspects of the occult, whether it's a religion or a spiritual practice or whatever. Like, it's all your will is has to be there as well, right? Mm-hmm. Not intention, your will, right? So, like, I have no will to do that. I'm just shaking my ass.
But even intention, like you said. I ain't intending on.
You're right. No real intention.
All I
want
to do is shake my booty at this one of those
and pop
right
this
here.
Fan.
Yeah,
that's all I want. Now this particular cousin would like to do boots on the ground during a ritual for Shango. Yeah. Oh yeah, I love that for you. I don't know how the traditional Levi's would feel about that, but sure, go ahead. I don't care. You know, like not good for you, but I don't think
no.
That's our hot take. Sometimes it's just shaking ass.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Okay, next question. Okay, two more. Graveyard dirt uses. I've been reading up on graveyard dirt and wasn't sure how to ethically source it. I don't know what that means. Well, let me continue, but we gotta go back to that. Suddenly, my two-week-old grandchild passed away. This weekend, after the funeral, while standing in the cemetery, I asked my daughter if I may collect some of the dirt from the site. She said yes, so I feel I had enough permission. I thanked her and my grandson. I'm going to leave it out tonight in the full moon to charge. Cleanse. I am going to use most of it under the dogwood tree we bought when he was first born. The rest I will keep to use in small amounts as spells call for it. Is there anything else I need to do with it to keep it clean and powerful without negative energy attached to it?
Let me shut this door and we can break it down.
Because I got questions. You got questions? Let's go line by line.
They obviously new too. Because what? I mean, new to the two. What practice they doing? Are they doing this? This hoodoo?
To be fair, this was on the R Witch Reddit. So it could be hoodoo. It could be any practice. Because there's many practices that call for graveyard dirt.
But the way she.
We're going to answer it like a hoodoo. Yeah. But yeah.
No. Can't answer that like a hoodoo because we don't charge nothing. We charge and stuff.
Let's just break it down line by line.
Okay.
I've been reading up on graveyard dirt and wasn't sure how to ethically source it. I don't know what that means.
Okay, so that's what I'm talking about.
I don't know what that means.
She fresh
ethically
out the
source
oven.
Graveyard?
She fresh out the oven because even that's chill. I'm about to. I don't want to be politically incorrect, but.
So, depending on your practice or what practice you're pulling from, if you're eclectic, there are definitely protocols for the graveyard, right? There's definitely protocols.
Wait a minute, what was the first?
But protocol and ethically sourcing graveyard dirt, that's no such thing. Like to follow a protocol is one thing, but ethically source, I don't know what that means. The only ethical thing I can think you might do in the graveyard is ask first. Hey, is it okay if I take this? But I don't consider that ethical. I think that's just protocol. Because to be fair, you are stealing from a grave.
Yeah.
And ethically, and like if someone had stopped you in the mundane and was like, you can't do that. You desecrated a grave. How are you going to explain it? Well, I threw four mercury dimes and all four came up yes. So I, you know, the spirit said yes. Or I used my mojo as a pendulum and it swung right. So who are you to tell me I can't when the spirit said I could? Like. I don't know what that means, ethical. I don't know what that means in this context.
I'm lost.
Okay. Suddenly, my two-week-old grandchild passed away. This weekend after the funeral, while standing in the cemetery, I asked my daughter. Okay, go back. So if you want to take dirt from a grave, I was learned that it's a little more involved need to, I'm not saying build a relationship necessarily with this thing, but you need to understand who you're taking the dirt from. Like, who is this coming from? Oh, because the idea is that the earth remembers. It remembers and it stores the information, the spirit. So I was learned that you don't go up to a random grave and just take dirt.
No.
And you definitely have to ask, hey, is this okay?
When I went to Sacred Space, Dr. Beverly, I'm not going to give her a whole thing, but she said sometimes it's, she said it's as simple as going to the grave, stating your intention. Hey, I was drawn to this grave. This is my purpose for this dirt. Is it okay if I take it? Then you divine. If you get a yes, you say thank you, you pour your libations, you move on. If you say no, you say no problem, you pour your libations, you move on. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So she's not doing the whole let me Google who this person was, all that. She's not doing that. And to be fair, she's going by her spiritual know-how. She's going to the grave. I was drawn to this grave for this work. And then she asked, and then she allowed the spirit who she was drawn to tell her yes or no. Right? Mm-hmm. But that's still protocol. And she said that she had to learn how to take the dirt without being seen. And again, I'm not going to give her a whole thing because that's, you got to pay for that, okay? But you had to learn how to take the dirt without being seen because there's cameras in graveyards. Mm-hmm. And technically speaking, you're stealing. That's why I said, ethical how? There's nothing ethical about it. If you're worried about ethics, don't go.
True that.
Okay, so then she said, suddenly my two-week-old grandchild passed away. This weekend after the funeral, oh, first of all, would you take dirt from a two-week-old child?
No. No. Because, like you said,
something about it don't feel right. I mean, you could, but something about it isn't correct. But
my thing is, like you said, grave dirt typically has a purpose.
Very much so. You go with a purpose. You don't just take it to take it.
You go with a purpose. You just, and that's why I'm just like, who's just going to graveyard and getting dirt and being dilly-willy?
And then storing it in their apothecary. What?
I'm going. So, yeah, I'm not going to my 2 week. What kind of work am I doing? If I'm going, what? I'm getting that there?
One of my coworkers, one of the people I first learned from, she took the dirt from her mother's grave. Mm-hmm. And she said she didn't take a lot, but she uses it in work that requires blessing. She wanted to get a new home. She used her mother's graveyard dirt. Mm-hmm. Like, so she knew she was going to use it for, but she took enough to use it over time. But you're right. Typically, that's not how it's done. You go for what you need.
You know what? Because I'm going, well, as you tell me that part, I'm going around here. So, yeah, I guess you can use it. You know,
that's not typically how it's done.
Blessing, but baby, what I'm using grave for dirt, because I can burn some incense and get some blessings. I ain't got to go steal no dirt for that.
She was connecting with her mother and her ancestral blessings.
Even still.
You're right.
I don't need her. I don't need her help to get no blessings.
Okay.
Baby, I'm blessed.
Okay.
So when I'm going to the grave.
Okay.
That's the last thing I'm looking for.
I have a specific purpose. I have a very.
Come on now.
Specific reason why I go. Real. And then I take just enough for that thing. I don't take a lot. Just for that. Cause you don't need a lot of it either.
That's and what I'm saying. I just can't wrap my head around that part. So, man, what is the purpose? What are we doing? You just want graveyard dirt in your apothecary? You just want
to
sit in?
That's what it sounds like. She just wanted, cause she's asking for the uses of it.
I don't like it.
So then she says, I thank her and my grandson. I'm going to leave it out tonight in the full moon to charge cleanse. I don't know what that means.
Again,
it's graveyard dirt. It's graveyard dirt. You don't cleanse water.
Say that. And then, like I said, what's my purpose? Because for what I'm going to use it for, I want all that that's in there. Why am I cleansing it of anything? That's a removal.
Yeah, you're removing it.
Am I removing what I want from this dirt?
I feel like
maybe I'm wrong.
No.
Wrong.
No, because I thought the same thing. Cleanse, charge. Not only do you not need to cleanse it, you don't need to charge it.
No, if it's charged, boo-boo. You get the right one. It's charged.
The point of the graveyard dirt is that purpose. Is to add strength to this thing that you're trying to do. Charge it.
Man.
I don't want
to leave that dirt alone.
I don't get it.
Somebody tell her.
I don't get it. And then she said, I'm going to use most of it under the dogwood tree we bought when he was born. That's nice.
Okay.
So, like, if you're doing it as, I'm going to take this graveyard dirt.
That's a memorial. That's.
Yeah, you know? it's not necessarily, like, a trick or work or spell work or whatever. It's just, that's nice. And a way to keep his spirit closer to you without going to the graveyard.
I can see that.
I love that. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
The rest I will keep to use as small amounts as spells call on for it.
Stop. Full stop.
Is there anything else I need to do to keep it clean and powerful? Graveyard dirt is powerful, full stop. You don't need to do anything. That's why you got the graveyard dirt. If you say clean as in you don't want it mixed with other stuff, put it in an airtight jar. That's the only thing I can think of.
That's it.
But like if you're talking about cleanse, you don't need to cleanse that.
And to keep it charged.
Without negative energy attached to it.
What are we doing in the magical world?
I only saw one response and they were like, just put it in a portal. Just put the rest of it in a house plant, baby. That's basically what they said. They just put it in a house plant so that way that plant grows strong with his memory, with his spirit. Yada. And I thought that was very nice.
That was very respectful. Because that's not what I was going to say. That was kindness.
So I would say, first of all, use of graveyard dirt. It varies. It's very flexible. I think we all know that most of it's done to lay trick to cause harm.
Yeah.
But you can also use it, like I said, my first teacher, she used it for blessing. She wanted to get a new home. She used her mother's graveyard dirt. Made that once, she said 7 days, everything went through. All of a sudden, things got moved and she was ready to move into her new home.
That's right.
You know what I mean? You can also use it for love. So if you take the graveyard dirt where the person's heart would have been, you can use it in love work. Sometimes I don't remember the full, this is why I write shit down, because I don't ever remember the full thing. But if you take the dirt from the left side of a thief, you can do this. Or if you take it from the right side, right hand side of a judge,
it gets that specific.
It gets that specific. From a right hand judge, you can do that. Personally, in my practice, and this isn't hoodoo, this is just a cocoa thing.
Mm-hmm.
When I go to the graveyard, sometimes I don't do it for the grave. I do it for the spirit that is the graveyard. Does that make sense? So like for protectors, like the protector of the graveyard, the guardians of the graveyard. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going for the dirt where the people are buried.
Okay.
I'm going for the hedges. I'm going for the tree. Uh-huh. And I use that
in the actual graveyard.
And I use that for when I need to armor up.
Okay.
And when I say, and again, like you said, I can just go get devil's shoestring. I can just go get, there's 15 gazillion other things I can use to armor myself. But if I'm using, guardian graveyard dirt in my mojo bag, that's like, I know for a fact, and I'm just going to look at you, and you know exactly who I'm talking about.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Or when I had to go to that one party. Yeah. For that other side of my family.
Yeah, I got you.
You understand what I'm saying?
Message received.
Yeah. That's some heavy shit. I need the full. And the thing is that I'm not talking about blessing armor. I'm not talking about the spirit of life cover me. Huh. I'm saying death. Listen, bro.
Yeah.
I'm going to your guardian spirits. Yeah. Guardian spirits. And I'm telling you. They touch me, strike these bitches down. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I want the aggressive shit. So there's varying uses for graveyard dirt.
This is what I'm saying.
But I don't want to say you should, but I only ever get it when I need extreme help.
That's how I feel about graveyard dirt to me. And that's just my spirit talking. I just don't feel that there's so many other things you can use, especially here in the States. I don't care where you're from, because Amazon is a thing.
Amazon is a you can go to the Botanica and get graveyard dirt.
But I'm just saying that but there's other things, other herbs, other
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To use
that's it's so
for graveyard dirt.
When
I think of graveyard dirt, you want to get with the nitty gritty.
Yeah.
You need the, like you said, the strongest level of whatever you're trying to get.
Yeah.
I just don't feel as that graveyard dirt should be taken nilly willy for any just random.
Because you're not taking the ground remembers. The ground remembers the spirit, the echo of that spirit, you know what I'm saying? Like it remembers. Mm-hmm. It's holding it. You're not taking an herb or a crystal. You're taking a human.
This is what I'm saying.
Or otherworldly spirit.
Maybe that's why, because my level of reverence.
Yeah, it's too sacred.
It's too sacred.
It's just for too
me
sacred.
To just use it.
You know.
To put in my plant pot to help it grow.
My thing is if you like she said, the base of her dogwood tree. Okay.
That, like I said, I feel as though that's more of a memorial.
That's a memorial thing. That's a.
And to, okay, that's okay. I can understand.
That's a family, you know, use this. And then you might use the bark of that dogwood for this, that, and the mm-hmm. third. Or the stick of this dogwood for this, that, and the third. You know, for youth, for innocence, for, you know, for blessing, even. Fine. Mm-hmm. But. To take it and not know why you need it is wild. And you're doing it backwards. I feel like you're doing it backwards.
Yeah.
But I love that. I love that for you. Like I said, I've only ever heard of it done that way in one instance. But even still, she knew why she was taking it. She said, I don't need it right now. But in my hardest moments, I knew my mother had my back.
Yeah.
So I can invoke her spirit with this dirt. In my hardest moments. So I'm going to take a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'll use it only.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
I absolutely yeah. need it.
That's my thinking. That's my line of thought. Because. I just have a high reverence. That I'm not going to be just.
It's sacred.
It's so lax. Yeah. I can't be so lax.
And then to. I think the thing that both of us are a little outraged by is that you're taking it and not only do you not know how to use it, you don't know how it's used. You don't need to clean it. Whatever's in it, you want.
Right.
You don't need to charge it. You're taking it because it's powerful. So like fundamentally.
Do you have a clear understanding?
You don't have an understanding of what it is you're asking for. What you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But. Maybe that's from our occult space. That's why we're like, huh? But I don't know. Maybe she's a green cooking witch, you know? And in their occult space, that's not how they use it. That's not how it gets mm-hmm. down. Also, sincere thoughts and prayers. Lighting a candle for you and your loved one.
Yes.
2 weeks old is not enough time on this earth to really experience what life was. And but how wonderful was it that you got 2 weeks, you know?
Yeah.
And that this baby's spirit will be with you forever. That's wonderful. And when your time goes to glory, I'm sure that baby spirit will be waiting for you. We just blessed you out, but just know that we do care.
We do care.
We do care.
We just want you to understand, I don't know, like I was saying, like from my spirit and understanding of
your grandbaby's graveyard dirt is too sacred to do what you're doing.
Sacred.
Yeah. Okay, I think this is the last one. Yeah. We're gonna end on something kind of fun.
Okay.
How do y'all feel about the plantation house burning down?
Girl, let me tell you.
So you were telling me a little bit about, I saw the memes. I saw the cookout memes. I saw the boots on the ground memes. I saw somebody who was sunbathing in the flame memes, but I didn't know what that, like, what plantation is this? What's going on, sis?
So, what's the name of Nodding something?
Uh-huh.
I believe I read an article. I can't remember the lady's name, but apparently this plantation was owned by one of, which, like, literally documented, she was one of the worst slave owners. How she treated her slaves, like, she would have, you know, slaves lynched, strung up inside of the house.
In the house?
Like, in the basement or whatever.
And she like that lady in New Orleans. Child.
So, it's bad. And so, yeah, people are excited because they feel as though the flames is literally releasing the ancestors' souls.
Got trapped in there?
Child, that's what I'm saying. That's what they're saying.
Or, you know, like I said, like releasing the souls, the transformation, or like a cleansing fire.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the house and the land is on, gets a new fresh start. Cleansing flames.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so apparently people was going down there and pouring out libations on the side of the road.
If I was close enough, I would have done something like that.
At least it was. But yeah, it's crazy just to even think that these plantation houses and stuff are still, if they're not a museum or a source of learning,
yeah,
why are they still up?
Or if they're not just somebody's family home. Because to be fair, that's what it is. The big house is somebody's family's house.
So I actually lived in there at this present day?
I don't know. But what I'm saying is that if there's a plantation, I would assume it's either a museum or somebody's actual home.
I just think that all of them at this point need to be museums. That's how I just feel.
They be having weddings at these things? I'm like, that's mm-hmm. weird. Is that not weird?
It's very weird.
At the plantation house? It's at the big house? Weird. You know what happened there, right? That's how you want to start your marriage?
Exactly. And then, when you know, what was it? It's the one rock, they're not a rock band. What do they sing? Country? They don't sing country. What they sing?
What girl?
NSH Country. Antebellum.
Oh, Lady Antebellum.
Lady Antebellum.
They changed their name to Lady A. They
changed their name.
Let me tell you something. We all know what the A stands for.
What is the A?
Antebellum.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah.
You can change your name to Lady A, but it still means Lady Antebellum.
Right. So that's why I was like, that's weird. You didn't realize that when y'all chose that name?
But to them, it's for the culture.
It's very...
It's, you know, my heritage. But here's the thing. There's many things...
It's very tone deaf.
It is tone deaf. But they were making money. And let me tell you, even as Lady Antebellum, I definitely downloaded that song. It's a cool after one.
I ain't gonna lie.
I need you now. I was like, oh, Lady Antebellum, oh. But I was singing, said I wouldn't call, but I lost all control, and I need you now. Oh, that's a bop.
A bop, girl.
It's a shame that name is Lady Antebellum. Yeah, I did that. But yeah, it is tone deaf. But Dixie Chicks did the same thing, which I thought was so interesting because they called themselves the Dixie Chicks, and yet they stood up.
They did.
To Bush. Mm-mm. And then they were like, wait. We should just be called the Chicks. You know what I mean? Like, we need to hear the Dixie part. But it's wrapped up in their culture, their cultural norms. And they don't need to be upset by it when the majority of the people buying their music, the majority of the people going to the plantation to have the wedding, mm-hmm. are not anyone other than a southern white person. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. How do I feel about it? I feel like how do I feel about the plantation burning down?
Yeah.
I feel like it reminds me of Lovecraft Country.
Mm-hmm.
When that plantation was going up in flames and Atticus, wasn't his name Atticus?
Mm-hmm.
His foremother, who was impregnated by her slave master, which is the reason why he inherited the magic he had, because he had her magic and the slave master's magic, she went running through that house on fire. She set the fire, and she went running through that house on fire and gave him the book of their magic. Yeah. Collective, hers and the slave master's, if I remember correctly. Like the conjuring. The conjure stuff. She gave him the book, the grimoire, on how to use it. That's what it reminds me of. And so I guess I'm on the side of whatever was trapped in that house that couldn't get out. Mm-hmm. Whatever the earth was and the wood the house was made out of was holding on to, it gets a chance to be released and transformed into hopefully something peaceful.
Prayerful.
Yeah. And if the plantation is not a museum or someone's actual family home, and this is their family home, and it's more for like events and weddings and shit, I don't understand. I don't understand. You can't cover that level of atrocity.
Right.
There's no amount of joy that can happen in that space that will cover that level of atrocity. Especially if she was as heinous as what you're saying.
Yeah. I think, where was that? That was in, that was in Alabama? Was that Alabama? Where did it take place?
In Lovecraft Country or the...
No, the actual...
girl, I don't know. I guess I can hit the Googles.
I know a lot of them... Excuse me. I still know a lot of them they're mostly not museums. They're mostly, like you said, they're family homes, and they use them as rental spaces.
Or they're jails.
Jails?
You was at the same museum I was at. There's that one that's one of the worst jails in our country. And post... slavery during Jim Crow, they took that plantation, they jailed black people for minor crimes, sent them there for long sentences, and basically prison labor became the new slavery system. Nottoway Plantation is the largest antebellum mansion in the U.S. was destroyed by a fire that broke out on Thursday. The fire was a total loss. Oh, that was another thing. The fire trucks came, put the fire out. A wind blew and rekindled the spark. And I'm just like, we're saying, oh, the ancestors, even some preachers are like, well, God don't need matches. According to Urbanville Parish President Chris Daigle, and there were no reports of injuries or death, the Nottoway Plantation was built in 1859 and was owned by a prominent Louisiana planter, John Hampton Randolph. It was a former sugar plantation that was later converted into a museum, resort, and wedding venue. The 165-room home became a popular tourist destination and even event location. The fire is believed to have started in one of the bedrooms on the second floor, but the cause is still under investigation. Firefighters responded to the scene within about 30 to 40 minutes. The fire caused a significant...
That's a long time. 30 to 40 minutes for a fire?
Because fire moves fast. It moves very fast.
My goodness, it's out in the boom. But you would think that one of the boom countries...
You would have a fire department nearby?
Yeah, even if it's a small one.
The fire caused a significant loss of history and cultural significance, as well as a loss of the local economy, which relied on the Nottoway Plantation as a popular tourism destination. I guess they're going to have to find something else.
Amen.
And maybe we can just throw up a memorial stone where their house used to be.
I know them other owners is getting
they calling in occultists as we speak. They trying to release spirits as they speak. Nervous.
I know I would.
Fire officials believe the cause of the Nottoway Plantation blaze was electrical and not suspicious. The only thing that's crazy is that the insurance payout on this is about to be bonkers. Okay. The memes are fire.
I'm telling you, because they have the one I saw. I saw the cookout one, and then I saw the one where they was playing cards. I said, "What are these people?"
Yeah, the boots on the ground.
The line dance with the people with the fans. I said, "Lord."
The one lady who was sunbathing in the flames.
I tell you, we are some funny people.
We are funny people.
But you know what? What did we learn? That's a part of our survival tactic, I believe, because we find the funny in everything.
It's either laugh or cry.
Yeah. We find the funny in everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the crazy part is, we all have the same sense of humor.
Yeah. Because I cackled. Yes, I cackled. To be fair, I cackled when it was set on fire. Like, just the photo of it on fire. I was like, oh, shit. Yeah. And my second thought was, I hope nobody was inside. Because, you know, people don't, no one deserves to die. But good grief. Hilarity ensued.
What was that one that somebody comment about the Sinners movie?
Oh, it opened up a ancestral portal. Because she's been going crazy ever since.
Has it not? Has it not, sis? People have been nonstop talking about this movie for weeks now. I saw a review of a girl. And I was like, what you're not going to do is try to make me cry right now. She said that, and I said it too, in the discussions, this scene is never discussed thoroughly. She talked about the scene where Smoke goes into town and he asked the little girl to watch his truck,
mm-hmm.
and how he was teaching her how to negotiate.
Yeah.
The girl said, did you notice the flower? She had a white flower in her hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe she gave it to him. He goes to Grayson Chow's store.
Mm-hmm.
He buys flowers.
Yeah.
Then he goes, use those flowers when he went home to see to Annie.
And put it on his baby's grave. Yeah.
I didn't notice the colors of the flowers, but apparently he took the white flower out and put it next to the thing. And she was saying that was just such a poignant moment because the way he was talking, my take of it was, wow, I said, this is important because he's literally trying to mentor or trying to train this young woman how to basically
mm-hmm.
be successful, be business minded, don't be taken advantage of.
Yeah.
When they talked about it, they were saying that remember that child they lost was a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically it was the moment of showing that how good of a father that he
could have been. Yeah.
And that he really, even though she was a girl, because back in them days, did you teach women anything? No, you didn't teach them business.
If they were white. Because Annie had her own business. Grace, the Asian, well, only Asian woman in town, she was running a business. Only if you were white did you not learn.
So the fact that he was a strong father figure,
mm-hmm.
trying to teach his daughter
mm-hmm.
how to be a strong, independent-minded, business-thinking woman in those times is so large.
It's large, yeah, it's big. She needed that survival skill.
Exactly. Then another point that they made, she said, that was really big for her was the girl that they chose to cast as the little girl. When we think of little girl, I don't know, in my mind, we think of maybe somebody's 5 or 6. He said that Ryan Coogler had to have intentionally casted a girl that was preteen, 12 or 13 years old, whereas in society, Black women at that age are already sexualized. They're already seen as women.
Mm-hmm.
They're already seen as grown, especially because, you know, what was our thing in Black and coming up? You know, once you get your period, you're a woman now.
Yeah. And don't go out there acting grown.
So the fact that he still saw in his eyes little girl
mm-hmm.
says a lot, that he did not see her as a woman. He saw her still as a little girl, even though she was clearly, you know,
mm-hmm.
older.
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying that is big because how often do we see, even in society,
little girl Ivy?
Little Connie.
How old is she? I was like, isn't she 14?
I don't like it. I think she's like 15, 16 now, but even still.
But she, I'm like, she looks
Honey, 20. I don't know. Let's check the tape because she may be 14.
She looks like 2021.
Mm-hmm.
She looks like she should be.
I understand she's in the entertainment world or whatever, but there I've seen like the girl Masai something. She's just starting to really look grown,
yeah,
and come out of her shell. When she was 13, 14, and she grew up in the industry. She looked her age.
Blue Ivy is 13.
See what I mean?
For you cousins who heard that kaglunk, that was Big Sis throwing her phone down in disgust. She's 13. I was like, when I saw her on the red carpet for that one event, I was like, oh man, I must be getting old. Cause I remember when she was born, she like what, 20? She like 18, 19, 20 now? And then I think I was reading something. That's why I said, this is she like 14. I was reading something. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's 13.
And she looking more grown than
she looks like her mom.
She wears more makeup than Beyonce. If you look at them side by side,
she does wear a lot of makeup.
It's like, wow, her makeup is heavier than Beyonce.
And I kept saying to myself, is it because at that age, Beyonce was doing the same thing? Beyonce did not have a childhood. Not like you and I had a childhood. Not that I'm saying that's a good or bad thing. I'm just saying that that's the reality of it.
That could very well be a very big.
So she doesn't see why it's weird that we're like, this is weird.
I
said she's 30, but you're right.
I just believe there are levels. There are levels. And we should not be treating a 13-year-old as if they are 20, 25 years old. We should not be dressing them as such. Let them have their childhood. That's why I'm kind of shocked. If you didn't have a childhood, even though yes, you want your children to have some level of, to me, privilege because she's able to live this type of life, mm-hmm. you know, that's fine and dandy, but still they're still a child. Didn't Will Smith and Willow go through that fight when she was with my whip her hair back and forth? That song, she was a teenager.
But see, I think Willow was 13 when that came out. But she
looked 13.
That's what I'm saying. It's not like I'm not saying Blue Ivy shouldn't be dancing on stage with her mom and all this other stuff. I'm just saying she looks so grown. I had to remind myself that this is a child. You know, and you know what else? I don't understand how celebrities expose their children in certain situations either, like forgetting that they're kids. Not necessarily Blue Ivy, because we saw her learn. She wasn't, I was rooting for her when she first got on stage, but she definitely learned a craft. You can tell that she's apprenticing in this, in entertainment. I love that for her. Mm-hmm. But Northwest? And they were like, well, this is her recital. No, it's not. This is a production. This is an actual Disney, people are getting paid, Lion King performance. She's working with trained professionals. She's not a trained professional. This is not a recital.
That was a debacle.
This is not a recital. And I guess I wouldn't feel that. None of us would feel that way if she had the talent for it. But and God help me for saying it, she don't got the talent for it.
She don't. She gonna be like a mama.
She don't even have she doesn't have the talent for it. So you let this little girl, because Blue Ivy's not that Nori. Yeah, you let this little girl go on stage performing in her own clothes to the Lion King, off key. Didn't pick up what she needed to in rehearsal. And you let her go in front of the world like that? Because this is not a school recital. Everyone has a school recital that's a little embarrassing. Even the most talented of kids has a school recital that's a little embarrassing. You let her go in front of the world? Why would you expose her like that? And then people are like, stop talking about her like that. She's a child. But look at what they did to her.
There we go.
Look at how they exposed her to this. I didn't like that at all. I was mad at Kanye. I was mad at Kim. I was mad at Grandmama. What's her name? Chris. Yeah. I was mad at all of them. Because why'd you do that to that little girl? You know she don't get, you know that's not her talent.
They did not set her up for success.
You know that's not her talent.
I believe she does probably have a desire for. I do. I believe she has a desire to perform just like Blue, because I believe Kanye took her on tour.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the apprenticeship is there, but don't throw that girl out there when, like you said, she is literally side by side with children that have been literally, this is their life. They are theater kids.
So when I first saw Blue Ivy on stage, it looked more like uncomfortable because she hasn't been in front of that many people before. Mm-hmm. Not, I don't know what I'm doing. Because we saw the footage of her as a little child in the dance studio with her mama running the steps. We saw that. So it's obvious that she's been exposed to that level of professionalism for a very long time in her 13 years. It's very obvious. Mm-hmm, very and so obvious. When I first saw her, I was like, she looked a little stiff. But it's not that she don't have a talent for it. It's just that it's a skill she has to hone. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. I don't know about you.
I did too.
But with Blue, with Northwest, yeah. I was like, why you make that girl do that? Why you gas her up? No, I'm feeling well. This is about to be put in front of the entire world.
And not doing like Beyoncé and Jay-Z.
And training her.
The same way with T.I. and Tiny. Their daughter, her voice is like an angel. And I don't think she's as old as they are. But we saw literally from the time that girl could speak, Tiny had a little voice trainer.
Yeah.
Literally a voice trainer working with her. Building her voice, her vocals, her, you know.
Yeah. It's both a skill and a gift. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You have to have the gift, and then you have to hone the skill.
Hone the skill. Yeah.
I'm just like, wow, but why would you do that to that little girl? I'm not mad at Northwest.
The parents. It's terrible. I have to just say, but I'm just going to pray for him, my brother.
Pray for him and his new wife. Because I don't know what that is.
Oh,
either.
I don't even
want to. You want to talk about spiritual disturbance? I think they're both very spiritually disturbed. It's either that or they have some kind of kink relationship that they're forcing on the rest of us.
It's a kink, you know, relationship. What? And yes, we are being exposed to it.
I love that for them. You know me. I do not kink shame. I love that for them. But the rest of us did not consent to being a part of your kink.
Someone said it out loud finally, and that's what I contributed to. They are literally showing us, that's what this is. This is not.
I didn't consent to that. I don't know why we're all involved in your relationship dynamics. I don't get that. And I get that they wanted the best for Northwest, because I saw a little behind the scenes footage, and they really wanted the best for her. But they were treating it like it was a school recital, and that's not what it is. That's not what it is.
No.
Okay. Final thoughts. Got any?
I just do agree that it's amazing how, since the movie Sinners, it has awakened a lot of people, their eyes. It's getting them to understand our history more. It's making them want to learn more, and not just the Black community. But I do believe that the Black community is just knowing about this movie, what the movie was trying to convey on deeper levels, not just the vampire movie, you know, but the wanting to learn of our history and how that all connects to things that are even occurring now.
I just love,
you know, when we did our review, I love this for Ryan Coogler. I love this for the Black community. I love it all.
Yeah, I think that in that vein, it's also exposing lines that were already drawn in the sand, because the Black Christian community, they are not okay.
They are not okay. Honey, they are not okay. We talked about that too.
They're not okay.
They on the internet.
Very upset. Very upset. And they're demonizing practices. We can talk about ancestral Africa. We can talk about that, sure. but they're also demonizing the practice in which their faith also came out of. Mm-hmm. You know, the same person in the community that was going to Annie in her shop was also sitting in the pew on Sunday.
Yep.
It's not, it's just a different form of spiritual expression. They're not exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
I make them exclusive for myself because I believe what I believe, but they're not, but I know that technically speaking, in the realm of hoodoo,
yeah.
I'm the outsider. I'm the weirdo, not the person who's practicing hoodoo and going to church. They're the normal one. Yeah. I'm the weirdo.
Very true.
You know what I mean?
Very true.
They're not okay. And I also think that when you don't understand something, even like our friend at the graveyard with her grandson, may he rest in peace. When you don't understand something, you start doing things that, for better or worse, don't. You learn later that it don't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm thinking about myself growing up in a Lutheran church and you know, all of that, and religion being a class I had to take. If you'd have told 13-year-old me that by the time you hit 30, not only will you not follow this God, you will find an entire different spiritual system in order to work within, and that's going to save your life, I'd have been like, you was a liar.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly I was worshiping demons. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what I don't know. And some people are willfully ignorant on that. They don't want to know. But they're quick to pass a judgment.
Yep.
Yeah. And or if it's something that you're into, like I'm pretty sure I did the same thing Graveyard Girl did when I first started. I thought I knew. Then I realized, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, there's ignorance about. And I really hope that as we progress forward societally with movies like Sinners, and then spiritually in our own individual practices, that we embrace our ignorance and try to shed light on what we don't know or understand. Because I think that can only make us better. Even if I don't agree or want to participate, at least I understand.
Yeah.
And I'm making that decision for myself to be like, the fact that Bible verse ain't, he said the Lord's Prayer, why didn't the vampire go up in smoke? At least I understand why that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what I'm looking at. And I can be like, well, that was a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And then leave it at that. But yeah, the Christians are not okay.
Yeah. I can't remember. I was on YouTube, yeah, and then somehow I got down the rabbit hole of watching the Sinners reviews,
mm-hmm.
And I sent you the two videos of the one guy that I thought did a fantastic job.
He did do a fantastic job. I just could not watch all of it.
Yeah.
But
in the comments, they were talking about Christianity and how. And just in this one thread, they were just getting it all wrong. They were saying, like, how they interpreted it as the prayer helping him kill Remick. And I said,
Were we watching the same movie?
How did we come to that conclusion?
And that, okay. You know what? Okay. I was trying to wrap it up, but we're not wrapping it up. We're going to talk that through.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. As someone who does not follow the faith, I saw it the moment it happened. I saw it. But someone else said that that moment was not about the prayer. It was understanding that Remick, this Irish vampire, knew and understood the depths and the destruction of colonization before it became a race thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's that old. He's so old, he remembers when there was no such thing as white and black.
That's why I don't think people pick that up. Remick, a lot of the reviews do not give the Remick character
enough credit. Yeah.
I'm like, did you listen to what he was saying at the door? Did you not understand what he was saying to Smoke when he was trying to get in? No, that was Stax. It was Stax that was at the door. Did you not listen to what he was saying?
Or even just in that unholy baptism when he said, that verse used to give me comfort too.
Yeah.
And the thing is that the reason why, make sure I don't keep that completely unplugged. The reason why, what's his name? Preacher Boy, at least in my interpretation of that moment, the reason why Preacher Boy then swung that guitar, he didn't know that that iron plate on the front of that guitar was going to make that man smoke out his head. He didn't know that. He don't know nothing about no occult shit at this moment. Mm-hmm. All he knows is about garlic and some steaks. He don't know nothing about no iron. But the reason why he swung it is because the prayer didn't work.
Yeah.
Because this, he said, I am, he literally, you can see it, you can't see it because it was dark. You can feel the moment when he said, I am not dying today. Mm-hmm. So he swung it against his head. He didn't know the iron was a thing and it was going to make him, he didn't know that. You and I know that.
Right.
He didn't know that.
He had no idea.
That prayer did nothing. And you can feel some kind of way about it if you want to. But in the movie's right, that it did nothing. It did not give him strength. That's it made him realize, I got to go about this a different way because it's not going to work. He literally went to what he thought was his last thing. He don't got no steak. He don't got no garlic. He can't set this man on fire. No one's coming to save him. Let me call upon God. And then Remy said, it used to bring me comfort too. When they stole my land and took from me, they taught me the same thing. So you want to know how you're going to overcome colonization? It's not by the prayer. He's going to have to take the guitar upside his head. I'm sorry. That just really pissed me off.
Yeah,
like, how are you not? What are you watching?
That's because they did. Because you say, I know that, and you know
I
that
saw it.
About the iron. It's like that totally glazed over all the Christians in that thread.
Did they think that the prayer was infused in the guitar? Every time I saw that guitar, I was like, is that iron faced? I've never seen an iron faced guitar before. Is that normal? Maybe I'm just not educated on the builds of guitars and the sounds they make. But the moment he smacked it upside his head, I said, oh, that was an iron. I thought it was just a random metal, like an aluminum or some silver or something.
I knew but the it moment, had to be. As soon as it got on his head, I said, ooh.
And he was smoking. Ooh. It hurt him so bad he had to let go. This nigga took bullets to the chest.
Yeah.
But the guitar is what freaked him out.
I had to clarify that whole situation and let him know that
that's not what that it did nothing. It was supposed to do something.
It was that iron in that guitar that went upside his
head. And my thing,
which we said,
basic old world shit.
Basic.
Ask any nation on this earth, basic old world shit. Whether you in Appalachia and you coming from, you know, the grannies, whether you hoodoo in low country. Whether you over in Asia and you think iron is one of the basic elements, whether you up where Remick is from and you got Fey and all sorts of stuff going on, they gonna tell you that iron is protective, full stop.
I don't think I got a response.
Cause
I've been waiting on it. I haven't gotten no
they're not ready for that conversation. But that's what I'm talking about. Like you might not only that, but then how did you walk me through how they got that? How did you get that? Because the next response was, it used to give me comfort too. He started reciting the prayer with him, and it used to give me comfort too. When they stole my land, they took my culture, they pushed us off of our homes. They made us speak their language, and they used that to do it. That's what he said. He remembers colonization before race was a factor. Before we started to define white and black. He remembers that.
Because we finally realized that he was hundreds of years old.
Hundreds.
That news article.
Hundreds of years old.
So he's seen. But child, yeah, I said, oh, heck, who gonna tell him?
You gonna tell him. And I don't mean no harm. That's how I get dragged in the internet fight sometimes. Because I'm like, what? I can't let that pass. I can't let that go. It didn't work, bro. It didn't give him strength. If anything, it told him, the only person getting me out of this It's me. That's why he swung the guitar. He didn't know that the iron and that guitar was going to do what it did. He had no idea. But when he had to reconstruct it.
You need to keep that iron in there. He kept that iron in there.
That's right. Grace. We gotta wrap up. Grace says, y'all doing too much.
That's right, Grace. Tell them.
Okay. So if you made it this far, thank you so much for staying with us. I just want to let y'all know we will continue to talk, but the spiritual protector of my home, Grace Jones, said, wrap it up. Y'all spewing too much nonsense, and I'm trying to rest. Before we get out of here, cousin, I want to let you know you deserve the world. Yeah?
Yep.
Everything you need is near you. You don't need a special herb to do it. You don't have to make up uses for graveyard dirt and all of that. You don't have to, try every form of divination possible. Everything you need, you have. The trick is to make sure that you understand what it is you have. Would you say that, sis?
I believe that also.
You need to understand what it is you have. And you need to face that truth with eyes open. Don't be ignorant. It's hard to do because I talked about before, the mind will play tricks. We think we know something and then we will hold on to that even if we're presented with information that says we're wrong, right? But just know that everything you need is right there with you. And cousin, if you call for your blessings, they will come to you. Thanks, big sis.
Glad to be here.
Bye.